Well, praise God. Lord bless your heart. Ain't it real great to be here? How many of you are ready for a message this morning? The Lord will bless you. God will be upon you in this service here. And He will bring you whatever you ask for, whatever you believe in your heart. As we begin to televise this, just let the anointing begin to go out there. And perhaps it'll help people that you know. Somebody that's in your family, or somebody that you know about to pray about, or this nation. And we'll get started here while we get on time so I don't get off track here. I got to figure. All right. Right now, listen to this morning here. How'd you like the film last night? Great service, wasn't it? Amen. Now, before I get started, I'll bring that into the mask, strong drink, the mask of strong drink, or lighter drink, or whatsoever. Now, tonight, we'll have the film on the resurrection. That'll be the message that probably would have been preached this morning, but tonight, don't miss it. Be here on the resurrection. And also, what good is the resurrection if you don't teach about the deliverance power that the Lord gives? Amen. And so this morning, several weeks ago, the Lord began to move on me. And I've had this message for quite a while. So about 3 or 4 days, I began to get some statistics together with it. And you remember, we preached the Grim Reaper about drugs and so forth. And I said, I'll come back and I'll do something that's destroying this nation and most parts of the world. And you're on television here. Listen to this real close and see the deceivability that's in drinking and so forth like that. Now we look around and we see signs everywhere. There's international fear, signs everywhere showing the mistrust, and that's exactly the way the Bible gives it at the closing hours of the age. But one of the greatest signs that's given in the Bible to be in the last few years before the translation, the last few years during the time of the starting of the tribulation, at many overlook. It is the curse of strong drinks, and too, we know drugs of late have been coming in heavy. It is eating at the nation's youth as a cancer. It is eating it away. Hell itself has opened its mouth large for the youth of this nation. Because God knows He's sending one of the greatest powerful moves that'll sweep in the youth, that'll sweep in those with an open heart that we have ever seen. He has laid the foundation, and the foundation of His Word has done well. Now He's coming back for a harvest, and He shall get a harvest, despite what Satan is doing there. It's demoralizing even the teens to the elderly. Even in Florida, they're drinking it by the gallons, trying to do away with their problems and their troubles. It just seems everywhere. The churches are allowing parties and they're allowing dances, introducing them to liquor and so forth like that, and beer and alcohol and wine. It's advertised on the television. It's advertised on the radio, in the newspapers. Every young person is faced with that from breakfast to night and to dark, day and night. They're faced with this. They need your prayers. They need your guidance. One drink is a million drinks. Did you know it? You know, when I was a young man, I have experience when I was a barber. Very young, too, starting at 16 years old. And I know what alcohol is. But after the Lord Jesus saves me, then I've always been able to warn against what it will do for you. And that's not all my message. I'll never get this on television here. Now, prophecy said it would be the churches, the Laodiceans, would be acting. I could name places which are Christian schools. Could name places which are full gospel, Pentecostal zippers. I can name those places that the doom of liquor is beginning to set in. And has caused much grief, trouble, wrecks, accidents, and even death because of alcoholism. But I don't want to do that this morning. It's covering everywhere nearly here. So we find out prophecy at the end of the age, the last few years that the age would last, it's ripening. It's reaching out for judgment there. And when the churches begin to allow it, many socials and so forth like that. Now, during Christmas time, during the Easter time, and during the new year, it's reaching the boiling point before God. It's just coming up before Him. It's a shame on the nation of the USA. Almost every parent is affected one way or the other by the curse of alcohol. And, of course, drugs taking its terrible toll in the last few years here. Almost every family, I get letters from all over the United States and out of this country asking the question, or that somebody is in alcoholism, and they're always in jail, they're always in trouble, asking me to pray for them. Almost every family in this nation, one way or the other, has been affected by alcoholism there. And it's the doom of any nation that forgets God. How many of you know that Israel was overthrown several times because of drink and idols and so forth like that? And so we find out there. Now, so they're affected by that. It's reaching a crisis proportion. As I said, we did drugs. Now we're going to do the drinking of the spirits. You say the drinking of the spirits, that's what it winds up to be if you stay with it. Listen to this real close here. Here's a scripture. Psalms, or Proverbs 20:1. Wine is a mocker. Strong drink, raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise at all and never will be. Listen to this. Wine is a mocker. I've seen them, those that would drink wine once in a while, I've seen the only type that would criticize and mock the ministry and then have to leave. Wine is a mocker of the prophet. How many of you believe that? I can name you names from people that come overseas that do that once in a while, and they'll come in here for a while, and after they settle in here for a while, with this strong anointing that I've got, and the stand that I have in it, seeing it ruining the nation, and the scriptures telling us to preach against it, I've seen them drift on out of the way. I have proof and evidence that many of those have been seen drinking. Maybe I ought to tell you your names and it would clear up some of the things around here when they depart. It's not just because of the Word of God. Some of those are departing because of alcoholism. Different things that are creeping in life. They're going to contain it one drink. But when they get in the United States, it's so plentiful and it is everywhere, and everywhere they turn an advertisement, that one drink there turns into 10 here. See, there's a different spirit that's moving across the land. Wine is a mocker. Mock the prophet, mock the Word of God, mock the people of God, mark the people of God. Amen. And many of those churches, many of those places today, some of the biggest systems in the world have their stocks in wine, have their stocks in strong drink, and feeding it to the rest of the nation here. They will come. Remember the woman with the cup in her hand. Remember the Bible in Jeremiah and Isaiah bringing out the same things that we have there. I've seen some of the most wonderful ministries, great ministries, in the 60s and the 70s. Several of them was gifted. And because of drinking, wearing out, getting tired, listening to others, being tempted by strong drink, the next thing you know, it got such a habit and such a control it could hardly minister and have to go off the field. We've just seen of late several ministries dabbling around in wine and drugs and different things, ruining their name, ruining their life, drugs. And it's a grim reaper too. It's taking its toll the same as the drugs are. The Lord told me this morning, preach this, but oh, He's the great deliverer. He said among the wine bibbers, He said among those that were drinking strong drink, He stayed right with them until they practically called that to Him. He was calling them on in and delivering them by the power of the Lord. He'll deliver you. Every time I preach a sermon like this, you see some of them vaporize. But it's the truth, saith the Lord. I know it's the truth. Some people said, I wished I'd have heard that 50 years ago before I ruined my life, or 30 or 20 or whatever. I've had them say, you know. Of course, I haven't been preaching that long, you know, 50 years, but 20-something. But anyway, it's a message. And this message goes to cassette to help people wherever they get it and so forth like that. And there's just so many here. And the ministry's wiping out. Actors wiped out. High positions wiped out. Doctors, lawyers wiped out by alcoholism. Have certain places for doctors now for drugs and alcoholism. Lawyers the same way. Wiping out the crop of the nation. Some of the genius men in this nation, some of those scientists in this nation are wiped out by alcoholism. Some of the wisest are, some of the wisest men in this world, wiped out. Even those that understand the scripture in the Bible, wiped out by it right there. And everyone says, I can handle it until later. You see, very few has ever been able to do that I've ever known of, but it leads to great trouble. Before we go any more, that is one scripture. There are many scriptures in the Bible, and he that is deceived is not wise. It biteth like a serpent, too. Amen. Listen to this right close here as we come. Sobering facts. If I call this sermon, it's a mask that's hiding behind there, a deceivable Billy. The other sermon will be sobering facts. Now, some sobering statistics on sipping the suds. Listen to this real close. Handguns are used in 50% of all murders, but 85% of all murders are drunk when they kill. Listen to that. When alcohol was legalized in Alaska, it seemed like overnight it just doubled the rate of crime took place there. Nearly one-third of 12,000 prisoners surveyed drank heavily on the day of their crimes. The heaviest drinkers included burglars, rapists, and those convicted of assault. Over one-third of 12,000. Alcohol is implicated in 50% of rapes and 70% of robberies. Now, this was done in 83. It's a survey out of many magazines that we'll be reading here. There's so many, I can't read them all. And a survey now is probably changed or a little bit different. They have passed real strict, strong laws on the highways. They have passed all kinds of laws, but they haven't stopped the drinking yet. And this is 83 and 84 statistics here. What they are now, we don't know, but they'll be close or whatever, or even worse. We don't know. And it says it's implicated in 50% of rapes, 70% of the robberies that take place there. Men, it says here, men who drank six times more likely to get throat cancer than non-drinkers, and also more likely to get cancer of the mouth. I don't want to get in a hurry here. I've got so much to bring in here to show you. I'm laying a foundation here. A government study identified alcohol as the most dangerous drug in the country. Alcohol deaths outnumber other drug deaths by 33-1. That was a while back. Now drugs is taking its course. More people are getting on drugs, so that'll change drastically. Alcohol's been here much longer, hundreds of years. That has took its course and in the 1900s and so forth. Some more are dying of that. But drugs is taking its course. Look at what's happened to the sports. Practically wiping out many of those sports players in there for life. Some of those that already had to leave in baseball, football, and also in basketball. It's just wiping them out in there. And we find down here, drunk driving is the leading cause of death among young people aged 16 to 24. Alcohol destroys 8-point-something billion worth of cars each year in 100,000 wrecks. Alcohol destroys brain cells and can lead to irreversible insanity if you drink enough of it. Alcohol costs 20 a billion and something in medical bills each year. Alcohol costs society $4.5 billion annually for additional law enforcement that wouldn't be on our taxes, $5 billion maybe, and rising there. Because of the drink, the people get a hold of it and they cannot handle it at all that's happening there. And it goes on, and you can go on and on with these statistics here. Here's another scripture, Isaiah 5:11. Woe unto him that rise up, or them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them. It says they regard not the work of God. They are in captivity, the Lord says. They have no knowledge, it's vanished. They are famished, and dried up with thirst, for hell has enlarged itself. Its mouth is open wide for them, in Isaiah. Amen. Captivity, no knowledge. They vanish. They are judged, inflamed with alcohol. The great deception. At first, a few drinks looks harmless. Little by little, like the serpent itself. And the next thing you know, they cannot shake. It's like a drug, and it is a drug. How many of you know that? I have seen them in some of the worst conditions, but you'll ever hope to see people on alcohol. And as I say, as a young man, in my experience watching that and being around that and also drinking it, before I was converted, way back there, as a teenager, I know all about. At first, you don't think anything's wrong with it all. Don't bother you at all. But then if you have, say, for instance, a strain, or your body begins to break down from pressure, so forth, then it begins to take its toll worse and worse, until little by little, it takes over and controls your entire life. Oh, my. But the power of God suddenly will break it just like that. It'll break any kind of drug. Many of those addicts don't know that. They're trying every way. But a sweeping revival will bring those to the kingdom of God. And I might say, make some of the best speakers, make some of the most confident speakers, and those that really mean business with God, when they finally get loose by the power of God. But no other way when they get loose will it be that way. They'll always be tempted. But the power of God will take it out. He'll make a new creation out of them. He'll give them a new system, a new body. They will not crave it again. They don't have anything for heroin now. They just give them, doctor them up with something else and turn them loose. Rarely is one ever set free from that, but by the power of God. And so wine inflame them. Solomon's books and all through the Bible there, they have that. They think Jesus made the kind of wine they sell in the stores. There's two kind of wines in the dictionary. Both are called wines. One's unfermented and one is fermented, right in the dictionaries if you find the right one. What Jesus made was new wine. What he had sobered them up, and boy, it alerted them to salvation. Glory, hallelujah. I know exactly how the devil maneuvers and twists that around now. I know exactly about how he does that there. And here's some, we got the statistics here. Let's get to this right here and see what the Lord has. We'll go back to Bible scriptures here. And so they glamorize it with their advertisement for the teenagers. You young people, listen to me. And listen to me real close. Don't listen to that advertisement. You stay with the word of the Lord. Sooner or later, he'll get a hold of you. And when it does, you can't turn it loose. It'll lead you into drugs. Trying to get loose from the alcohol, you go to drugs, try to kick one to get the other. And then when you get in drugs, then you're through. You see, you can't do anything. They just give you methane or some kind of drugs that takes its place there from one step to the other there. So you can't see it at first, but it is a mask. It is disguised. And so listen to this right here. The modernist says alcoholism is a disease. Some others say this. Listen, these are some men that are known in the history of our nation. It is the exact words that they said. And it's not words that I'm saying, but it's the words that they say. And I don't believe you're going to be able to refute this. Listen to this real close here. Shakespeare, alcoholism is a poison men take into the mouth. It steals the brain. Shakespeare. Don't fool with it, see. That's exactly right. Dope does the same thing in all of its forms. Gladstone said strong drink was more destructive than war, pestilence, and famine. Do you ever check how many deaths are caused dying, people dying in wrecks, and people that kill and commit suicide, and people that do these things. Check how this nation, only the hand of God has kept this nation from going clear under. It's the hand of the Lord. Gladstone. Sir Wilfred Lawson said, it was the devil's in solution. It was the devil in solution. Liquid spirits. How many of you heard that? Amen. Cardinal Manning said it was the public, it was public permanent agency of degradation. Cardinal Manning. Abraham Lincoln said it was a cancer in human society, eating out its vitals and threatening its destruction. And no doubt the men that plotted to kill him were sitting there with whiskey and wine to kill Abraham Lincoln. Maybe the same way when President Kennedy was killed. They were sitting and plotting under wine tables and strong drink. How many of you follow me? I know from which I speak about this stuff here, young people. I know exactly what it'll do to you. Robert Hall said it was distilled damnation. That's exactly right. Lord Chesterfield said it was... Get it out here. Lord Chesterfield said it was an artist in human slaughter. It was artistic the way that it done it there. Ruskin said it was the most criminal and artistic method of assassination ever invented by the bravos of any age or nation. A perfect assassinator. That's right. General Pershing said drunkenness has killed more men than all the histories of war. Through history. Strong drink. General Robert E. Lee said if you want your health and your morals and your senses, do not drink liquor. How many of you are still with me? Robert E. Lee. President Taft said he who drinks is deliberately disqualifying himself from advancement. Deliberately doing it himself from advancement. I don't know how many of the finest barbers that I've ever saw, and also my family, my dad. Some of the best, we know from whence we talk. That seems to be the best ones. And I don't know how many of those cut their whole career short because of alcoholism. Even those that didn't drink could not maneuver that haircut like they did, even when they didn't have it in them. But yet alcohol destroyed more barbers than you can count. More artists that paint. More musicians. As we say, even gospel people destroyed. Those that would rise up and be probably good preachers, Satan wiped out before they could get started. Simply because somebody said, take a little wine for thy tummy steak. Yes, the wine that Paul talked about was boiled in syrup and it would kill any kind of a poison that was in your system from the water. Amen. They'll say, take a little wine. You might as well take 1,000. It won't be enough pretty soon if you fool with it. Here's what I'm saying. If you could take 1 teaspoon, or you could take 1 little drop and it wouldn't hurt you if God allowed it, and you could just take that 1 drink, by letting somebody see you do that, letting some young person see you do that, that is one of the worst examples that I've ever seen. Even if you don't drink just a teaspoon of that, it is a bad example before the young people. They won't stop at that. How many of you see what the Lord is trying to show you here this morning? Even if you could drink a little bit, it would not work. The example to young people, and that the people are growing up now in this nation. Their nervous systems and their total mentality is different than the younger part of this nation. They can't take a few drinks. There's something out of whack. It's the pressure, the perilous times, the conditions of impatience, the pressure that's put on them. It's the age of the neurotics and so forth, and all of the nerves and worry and so forth like that. It's on and on. It seems to numb the pain, take them away from their pain. All the Holy Spirit will numb it for you. He'll take you out and let you feel real good. Amen. Praise the Lord. And so we had, you disqualify yourself. President Theodore Roosevelt said the beverage alcohol business tends to lawlessness on the part of those who conduct it and to criminality on the part of those who patronize it. President William McKinley said it was the most ruinous degrading of human pursuits. The United States Supreme Court once said that it tends to produce idleness, disease, pauperism, and crime. Now, besides the wine and the alcohol, which, well, some of the young people said, well, I don't get anything out of that anymore, so I've started taking marijuana and drugs. Now they're trying to get off on all of it, and they give their testimonies and their statements. Some of them even trying to make statements not to take drugs and alcohol when they're doing it themselves. Then that's coming out today. I don't know how you can get any worse than that. Can you see what the nation has got into now? It's exactly right. So the Supreme Court said, pauperism and crime, they ought to know, but the crimes that come up before them. Look not thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth its color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright, see it's ready to drink, aright. At the last, when it's through with you, it biteth like a serpent, it stingeth like an adder. And Solomon saw somebody on the DTs and said the wicked run when nobody's chasing them. If you don't believe that, I've had people say that people used to drink that old moonshine and stuff? You know how they make it in the South and so forth like that? And they would drink that stuff for days and days, and alcoholics, and they'd be running thinking something was chasing them. And Solomon looked and said, my lands, the wicked run when no one's chasing them. Found out he's drinking that stuff, see? Had something to do with that. It causes delirium tremors. The DTs sets in. Crimes. People commit crimes they never would commit. People do things they never would do before. See? Robberies, murder. All of these things fill in there. They've tested. They found out about it here. And the liquor companies have such a strength to do it. And they went against it so hard. The mothers have went up against that thing because of their children until they had to stop it in some ways, you see, and pass strong laws. The insurance companies has put their hammer down on that thing. They found out the statistics on there. That's causing all insurance bills to just rise and rise and rise. And the others, the doctors, high prices, the medical hospitals because of the insurance. It's caused them to charge more and so forth like that. I'll get that in there. Now, it biteth. It's like a serpent. Dope, narcotics will all do the same thing. Listen to this right here. 1927, J. Blakely. I'm working on some scrolls that are coming. I did some research. You can find it in Britannica. You can go back to different places. You can hear about them in history and religious books and so forth. From the time of Daniel, before Daniel even Bible quotes, 33 A.D. by Jesus, on up the line, the 12th century, 15th century, 17th century, 1900s, quotes about the end of the age. The ones that way in there 400, 500, 600, 700, 800,000 years ago, that the age would not finish out past this century but close into something else. We'll be giving some of this close. This is part of one that will be given on another subject probably later. But J. Blakely, 1927, I run across this. And some more things that shows me that he did have God with him. But I'll read this part. I just read it the other day. Listen to this right here. In 1927, strong drink, he means drugs too, but strong drink will cause the greatest debauchery ever known in the history of the nation. Crime will increase fully 50%. Now, he didn't say when the coming of the Lord said, but he said it would be that rate by 1977. It's 10 years past that. 1927, he gave this prophecy. 50%. Murder, robbery, and such the like. This curse will be the great plague of God's judgment upon them. The most cruel cases of murder and robbery will become so common, they will not even be noticed or thought about. Way back there. Look at the 60 years or so that's went by there, how many years it's been. Many will commit suicide at the least provocation, and there will be great increase in the murder of unborn infants. He's moving on in that prophecy. Now, unheard of. No, we have laws now that can do that. Unheard of then. Well, a murder of unborn infants. This is because men and women forgot God. See, even once known God. These carnally minded people can't take time to raise the infant, for it would hinder them in their social affairs and their pursuits of pleasure and their drinking society. See, listen, to raise the infant. This again calls down the great judgments of God upon them. But their society will magnify them for the shrewdness of their murders. 1927. Millions and millions of babies unborn. But they'll magnify them for the shrewdness of their murders. Prophecy marches on. How many of you are still with me? You couldn't do that then. How many of you believe that? You couldn't do it 10 years from that, 20 years from that time, 30 years from that time. But hitting on up in there, they begin to allow that. There may be certain justified causes, but I don't know, and the person's life is at stake and something like that or whatever it would be. But he's talking about just out of random there. So that will increase the unborn infants. We've seen it. Hear this, ye inhabitants of the earth. The Lord destroyed the nation, the Jews, because of their unbelief, and he will destroy thee, O America. Repent. All right, we got some more. You talk about moving in what's here today. One place is set at the end of the age. He'll get so bad that a person have to be out on the desert and the mountains in order to worship the Lord. And I made mention of that the other day before I even read this here. And some more things there. Listen, this right here. Oh, I pray that I can get this on here. There's so much. You wait for the quotes that come of the ending of this age with along with what I've written. And it'll be some real good work for you to watch in prophecy that's coming here. You know, let's get to this right here. Look not upon thou upon the wine when it is red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself upright. It biteth like a serpent. Psalms 23 and 31. I want you to get that. Proverbs 23, 31. I want you to get that. Now, we all know the 23rd Psalms in the Bible. What a beautiful Psalms. This person evidently had been trying to get delivered but didn't know how. So we know the 23rd Psalm, but this is the Psalms of the Addict. It was found somewhere, and I'll tell you at the end of it. An unknown dope addict, lost in the dream world of heroin. We're moving into heroin. Or it can be cocaine, too. Wrote the following. King Heron is my shepherd. I shall always want, I'll never get enough. Listen to that. He maketh me to lie down in a gutter. See, no place to dwell, no place to sleep. Just the opposite of the Psalms. He leadeth me beside the troubled waters up. He destroyeth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of wickedness for the effort's sake. In heroin. Yea, I shall walk through the valley of poverty and will fear all evil and every fright. For thou, heroin, art with me. Thy needle and capsule. It's also a carrier of AIDS today, they found out, with the homosexualism. It's a carrier of AIDS. It says, thy needle and capsule, try to comfort me. Now, if you've read the 23rd Psalms, it's reversing what was done there. Try to comfort me, thy needle and capsule, try to comfort me. But I will shake again. Will shake again. Thou strippest the table of groceries in the presence of my family. Alcohol does the same thing, saith the Lord. My cup of sorrow runneth over to the top. Surely, heroin addiction shall stalk me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the damned forever. I cannot shake it. I am troubled. Listen to this. This typewritten Psalms was found by a Long Beach police officer, a policeman. In a telephone booth, on the back of the card was handwritten on the postscript. Truly, this is my Psalms. I'm a young woman. I'm 20 years of age. And for the past year and one half, I have been wandering down the nightmare of the junkie. I want to quit taking dope. I try, but I can't. They jailed me and it didn't cure me, and I've been in jails. Nor did hospitalization help me. The doctor told me it would have been better the man that gave you that would have just took a gun and shot you. Cannot shake. Heroin is the worst of all drugs. Only the power of God on the resurrection day can take it care. It's exactly right. The resurrection takes care of all of these things in here. See, there is hope for the dope addict, but only by the power of God. Then the person that wrote this here tract says, I do not know how to reach this one who wrote the Psalms of the addict. I wish I could give her this good news. Nevertheless, I'm glad to share this with you, and others may get help from this one thing. Perhaps God will touch this woman for writing it and leaving it where she knew the policeman come by to report and left it there. Oh my, I'll tell you, the Psalm of the Addict. King Herod shall be my shepherd. I will lie down by troubled waters in the gutter. Alcoholism is almost the same thing. Young people, listen to me. Did you hear that prophecy on Blakely? Moving on out from 1927 into the age that we live in right now, 60 years ago, and the prophecies that happened there. Boy, it is time to reach up and receive the Lord. If you're troubled by any of this on television, this anointing that's on me is sent to break it, and I mean quick. You got a little faith, you're free. You're free from all types of sins, especially those sins. God will set you free. Now, those listening to this, put your hands in the air. No matter what's wrong with you, you are delivered by the power of God. Ask anything in my name, and I will do it. All things are possible to him that believeth. And that covers that. Give the Lord a hand clap. Praise the Lord. That is right. Proverbs 21, wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging. Whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise at all. Amen. The young people, sometimes where does the blame go? Look how they're advertised. Look what, it's all over the schoolyards, all in the cars. It is everywhere, every family nearly. Don't feel so bad if your family has been in trouble. Turn to the Lord, God, and let him wipe it out. Put it in the hands of the Lord. But they're faced every day. But I'm telling you, young people, it may seem all right at first. It may even make you feel like you're a little happy, but you'll feel bad the next day even then. And probably before it's over, you'll throw up. But the thing is this, when it finally gets to calling around you, it'll bite you. And when it does, it's like that Psalms. It'll strip you of everything that you've got. And even the Supreme Court had enough of sense years ago. Say it turns you to crime and pauperism and everything that you can imagine. These men, each one that quoted that, you can't put them down. They were successful in what they did. And they watched and saw what liquor will do to a nation. It causes suicides, assassinations, murders, and robberies, broken homes. It causes everything that you can think of. Alcohol does. And the Spirit of God on me to deliver people from alcoholism and drugs is so powerful that those that still want to tamper with it begin to vanish before me. Those that want deliverance, it just strips them right out, takes it right out from them. It'll make a new person out of you. I want you to stand to your feet this morning. My, I don't know if many of you have heard that Psalms that was left in that phone book that police officer got. I've been around the heroin addict. I've talked to them. Even before, I've never took it. Never not heroin. And I've talked to them and they tell me all about it. One fella told me, and I don't know if we can get this on television, probably on a cassette maybe. And while I was in alcoholism at that time as a young teenager, not now, not since God saved me, I don't fool with that stuff. And he said, you know, didn't they just call me Neil, you know, that one older fellow had been taking that for quite a while, was talking to me. And he said, you know, I'll tell you what, and they were telling experiences. He said, I shot up that heroin and cocaine together. He said, you didn't even have to have that. But he said, you know what, I was with it. There's a woman with me. And he says, you know, I was on that stuff. We got some of that, and I'd been on it a long time. He said, she died, and she said, it didn't even bother me for 3 days. And she was dead. And I said to myself, you mean to tell me you could sit right there? He said, it didn't bother me at the least. Somebody had to do something about it. And different people would say what they would do and what they would think and how it would affect them. Some of them think it make them feel, you know, like they're somebody else, like a god. Lift them up in great, great exaltation for a moment, you know, a great letdown. Dangers, but what it does do, and each one will tell you, and they were there to take treatment too when I talked to them. What it will do is destroy you, body, soul, and mind. So if you know people, give them this cassette. If you know people, there's great deliverance. But don't be trapped or sneered by alcohol or any form of drugs. Stay away from it, and God will bless you. Very few has ever tampered with it that it didn't catch up with later. How many of you believe that? And I've seen a few that the parent was only drank a drop or two, and not anymore. And because the children would see that, they would go out. See? And they would start a drink or two, and I've seen those children turn into alcoholics. And their parents wish they'd never even had it in the home. So even if you could control the thing, which the Bible says, stay away from it. The priest and people of the Lord stay away from it. We know that. But even if it was, you can't win. If it doesn't get you, it gets the next one in line. How many of you believe that? You should be shouting the victory. If you're delivered, the example and the advertisement today and the stars and stuff is selling that stuff. And one sports guy used to sell it. And he said, you know what? I had children run up to me. And he said, they never remembered me for the great football feats that happened on the field. And he prayed for years and years for Baltimore Colts. He said, they never remembered all those things I thought they'd remember. He said, I got out of there and I wasn't playing football anymore and I need a job. Here they gave me this job selling beer. And here I was up there telling them to drink this beer. He said, later on, he said, these children run up to me and tell me about the way I was selling that beer and making jokes. They weren't talking about the football feats and the teams I had played like I used to hear. So he says, I'm not selling it no more. I'm through with it. And besides that, he says, when I looked around and seen, he said, I was killing people. He got all shook up. He said, I was destroying people. He said, people were dying and I was selling it. I woke up one morning. He was a colored fella. He said, I woke up one morning, a black man. I woke up one morning. And the whites, they do the same thing, more so. There's many of them too, selling it too. I woke up one morning. I said, these people are dying. And here I'm out there selling it. So he said, I'm not selling it anymore. He made a public announcement that he was not going to sell that stuff anymore. He said, it's just ruining the lives of the young people that saw me play football. How many of you believe that even them have sense? Come on here. And You, some of you young people may not need this message now, but someday it's going to be very valuable to you. If I could have gone in on the inside and told you what takes place in that alcohol. Some of the experiences I saw and was around as a teenager, growing up in the barber business in the world, before I was a minister, and relate some of the things. I'll tell you the truth so you couldn't, your hair stand on your head. I'll tell you, just take my word from it. Strong drink is raging. Wine will mock the prophet. Wine will mock the word of God, finally. Wine will destroy. More nations have went down, been turned into hell because of it this morning. Well, I preached my sermon. There's so much you could add to. I had so much information, I couldn't tell you all it's caused. And so much there. But this is one thing about it. Pray for your neighbors that are drinking. Pray for your children that are drinking. Pray for this nation. This revival that's coming. Because those people have been involved in drugs and alcohol. And they've been involved in all those things. This revival sweeping from God's like a fire that'll burn that out of there. And that's why that revival will be so great. They'll think God has done so much and He has for them that they can't help but to rejoice. My God! Ah! Free! Free! Like I say, when it comes to alcoholism as a young man, you can't consult anybody I believe that knows any more about what took place. And I'll tell you, the Bible is true on that right there. How many of you love Jesus this morning? I've seen some of the finest ministers hit the dust. Boy, I tell you, that stuff is bad. Tonight, our resurrection film, I want you to come and see it. Watch how the dead will live again. I'll show you how Christ comes out of there with His power. Deliver of all manners of diseases and all the sinners of this earth. He will save those that open up their heart to Him. All right, we've finished this here. We've got a televised on there. And I'm going to pray a mass prayer over every one of you. Give your heart to Jesus. If you need the Lord Jesus, if you're new here this morning, you give your heart to the Lord Jesus. You come back here tonight and see this film we're going to show here tonight. And God will bless your heart. And you give your heart to the Lord. And one of these prayer lines, we're going to, a little later on, do so many in a row on healing on Sunday nights and so forth. We'll be telling you about it later. We'll be reaching out to bring people and so forth. And we're going to have salvation healing meetings too later on down there. But you'll be here tonight. And some way or another, we'll pray a mass prayer because I won't go back into my healing until I go back the other way. And you be here. And this morning, I'm going to pray a mass prayer. I don't care what's wrong. I have people heal of tumors and cancers right there. Of course, we see it instantly right here. But out there and all over. And I'll pray for that. And God will work a miracle for you no matter what you need this morning here. Amen. I think some of you really enjoyed that message. Boy, that deliverance power of the Lord, it is something to behold. I never even had one drop since I was 27 years old. At that time, it got converted me. I thank Jesus. Boy, that's power, man. That's power. Woo! I used to carry it everywhere I went. Don't talk to that guy with the gray hair back there. Amen. He can tell you a lot of things. I tell you, the power of God is 10 times, billion times more powerful than that stuff. Amen. All right. Are you ready? Let's thank God this morning. Let's pray. Let's rejoice. I'm going to pray a prayer of deliverance. All right. Let's go. Come on now. Give thanks to the Lord. Thank you. Woo. My, how great you are, Lord. Touch. Touch. Two. Four. Eight. Jesus. Deliver. Whoa. Jesus. Whoa. Ow. I feel it now. Jesus. My. Woo. Jesus. Let touch a nation. Touch those young people. Set free. Set free. Yeah, move. I believe it. How feeling? Stay. Straight. I feel him now. Sweep over that audience, Lord. Yeah.